Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is a little heavy. We will be discussing sexual assault. We know that topics like these can be triggering for some and may be inappropriate for some ages. If you want to skip out this week's episode, it won't hurt our feelings. but make sure to check out our Facebook, YouTube, or Anchor page for all of our other previous episodes to listen to.
I'm Lamont, and I'm ready for today's important and courageous conversation.
And I'm Liv. I hope that our episode today can help bring light to this topic, and you're tuning into
the Lamont
and Liv podcast.
It is the month of April, and some national holidays that caught my eye were today, April 10th. National Sibling Day and National Hug Your Dog Day. If you have siblings and you have a dog, why not give both of them a hug?
If I have to. I don't really want to. I'll hug my dog. I don't know about that. We'll see.
April 12th is National Only Child's Day. So if you're an only child, you can celebrate that day and have a great day. Take yourself out shopping. Get your hair done, your nails did.
Patrick's an only child.
And you can also celebrate with a grilled cheese because it's National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day the same day.
That one I can get behind.
So I'm excited for Earth Week. I usually celebrate Earth Day. I play Michael Jackson's Earth song and stuff. But yeah, so if you're looking forward to participating or experiencing Earth Week, you can do that between April 17th and 22nd, and April 22nd is National Earth Day. Leigh and I have been on a picnic. Oh, never mind. Wrong memory. That was actually Tira telling me and Kayla.
I thought
like for some reason, like in my memory, I thought you were there. Maybe I just thought your spirit was there with us.
Although back then, Tyra and I were kind of inseparable, so.
Okay.
That's okay.
I love picnics. Mm-hmm. And April 23rd is National Picnic Day. Leia, me, you, Alfred, and Patrick should go on a picnic someday.
Maybe. That might be fun. Okay. It's outside, though. I don't know about that. We'll see.
We can be creative. We'll figure it out. And then finally, that brings us to our very important topic, the month of April, which is Sexual Assault Prevention Month. And today we're talking about surviving sexual assault and the importance of consent.
Awesome.
We have a special guest. She is a mother. She's a speaker and a writer, blogger, and a fellow podcaster of the Create the Ripple podcast. Her name is Candace Smile Lee.
It's a fun name.
Yeah, it is. She loves to engage in interesting conversations with other influencers and it's entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah. Entrepreneurs.
She loves. Wow, there's so much editing already.
Oh, I'm not editing any of this.
I'm gonna die, Leia.
Editing a single thing.
All right. She loves to engage in interesting conversations with other influencers and entrepreneurs. Her favorite conversations are the ones that take courage. Welcome, Candace, and thank you for joining us on our podcast.
So glad to be here. Thanks, guys.
Would you please take a moment to introduce yourself to our listener and viewer audience?
For sure. So I'm a mom, first and foremost. Podcaster. I also market myself online, so I really enjoy being able to live. I'm living in a tiny home. I mean, people can't necessarily see that, but I'm living in a tiny home right now. And so everything I do is about creating this amazing life and lifestyle for me and my family. I've got an interesting story, which I'm sure we'll go into bits and pieces of today, but like points of trauma, both, and some good things too. I mean, there's some significant moments. And so recently I've been coming to talk about those trauma points openly, honestly, so we can release some of the shame. I think a lot of people have stories that they don't talk about, and I want to talk about them so we can begin more dialogue around these things. And then some positive points too, where I think, hey, you know, and I'm glad things happened and I got to this certain space and now we can talk about them. So I have a podcast called Trust the Niggle, Tell the Truth. And a lot of that is listening to that inner nudge that most of us hear or feel and ignore. And so most of my trauma points are because I ignored that. And also the good things happen because I followed that nudge that said you can go this way and it'll be a good thing. And then the telling the truth, which is really about first telling the truth to yourself, who you are, where you're at, the mess you're in, right? That sort of thing. And then to be able to live out from that truth in your integrity.
Wow. Excellent. Leia, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, not at this time.
All right.
I'm going to have to check out your podcast. That sounds really interesting. So I'm just curious because tiny home thing. How many people are living in the tiny home?
Four and two dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, we all fit in 250 square feet. Well, 350 if you add the two lofts where we get to, you know, sleep and hang out. But, you know, for me, shrinking my life, so shrinking like the living space, the amount of space we're taking up, which includes the stuff that we don't need. We've embraced more of an essentialist lifestyle. So originally it was about minimalism, which happened because, you know, if we backtrack into my story a little bit, I got left with a significant amount of debt, needed to leave a significant relationship. And so, you know, I was sort of forced into minimalism because there wasn't, you know, the finances to support it. And I needed to sort of hit the reset button on my life. And I didn't necessarily go into that, you know, all, you know, yoga and happy about it. It was sort of a forced minimalism. However, once I got there, I realized that it was actually like my anxiety would like disappear because there was just less to worry about. There were less bills. There were less, like it was just less. And that sort of led me into the essentialist, which is less but better. So you can afford, you know, you have the energy, time, money, you name it, the resources to buy the things you really want, to do the things you really want to do. But you focus on what's important now. What do I really need right now? What do I really want right now? And so that's lent itself into, you know, pretty much every part of my life, my business, my personal life, our space. I was saying to my partner the other day, I said, one of the things I love about the tiny home is all the people and things I love are like within basically reaching distance, right?
Yeah.
Like everything is right there and we're on top of each other, but nobody gets to the end of their life and says, you know, I wish I had done, you know, this. They say, I wish I had spent more time with, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, living smaller lets us live a lot bigger.
Excellent.
Very cool.
That's very cool. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into our main topic. So once again, we are talking about sexual assault, and we probably should talk about what sexual assault actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is it?
Well, for me, it was that, you know, and I mean, I'm in Canada, and so the definition is basically when someone moves in, you know, into a more of a sexual interaction where the other person is not on board. Right. So there's not consent expressed or otherwise. And I think that's a really big deal. So the person feels like there was an assault on their person sexually. And that's what happened to me is I was in a relationship with someone. It was long distance. He was significantly older than me. He said all the right things. And so this was really my first experience with, you know, gaslighting, manipulation, these things. I was 17. He was 24. I had no idea that these sorts of things existed. I'd grown up in a really amazing, safe, protected bubble. And I hadn't really been prepared for this. And I've talked a lot about this with a lot of parents, like how do you actually prepare your kids without exposing them unnecessarily, you know, to an evil, but also sort of preparing them because I was entirely unprepared for this kind of insidious, subtle abuse. Mm-hmm. I talk a lot about that a lot, like subtle abuse where someone to use guilt language and that sort of thing, which I'm sure we'll dive into. But for me, the sexual assault was he showed up and he had expectations that because we were in a relationship, we would do these things because he had done these things and he had these needs. And even though I was uncomfortable, I didn't necessarily know how to say that, nor establish those boundaries, nor stand firm in those boundaries. I mean, the girl I am today would be like, you know, there's the door and don't let it hit you on the way out kind of thing, right? But at 17, you know, I didn't realize that I could say, this makes me really uncomfortable. And even if I did say that, he would come back with something else. And so for me, the sexual assault, and for anybody else listening, it's when you feel violated as a person sexually, regardless of whether that's, you know, first base, second base, all the way, it doesn't really matter. That's an assault on your person. And that's what it is.
Yeah, that I love the way you sum that up and told part of your story with that. That is so powerful. I don't think I can add anything.
Well, I've thought a lot about it, right? Because I get a lot of questions like, you know, are you looking for justice now? Like, what's the point in telling the story? And I'm like, I'm trying to not go into detail, but trying to paint a big enough picture so that if there is another 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, you know, 21-year-old listening or another mom, there is an opportunity for them to recognize it and call it what it was. Because to be honest, until I did my healing, I did not call it a sexual assault. Mm-hmm. I did not do that. I would say, you know, I was touched inappropriately. I kind of like, you know, made it okay versus me finally coming to this point of a healing where I said, no, this is what happened. And whether or not he meant it that way, whether or not he was aware that that's what happened, that's not the point. The point is I didn't have the words to say, I feel assaulted. Right? This right. is what happened. And then I've done a lot of digging into what does that mean? And what does that sound like? So it's not, you know, for, you know, attention factor. It's to really be honest that, hey, if you feel assaulted, this is an assault on your person. And you need to honor that and say, this is what happened to me. And it's really, really common. And this is what surprises me. And it was actually something that got in the way of me talking about it when I was 17. As I would try to hint, like, well, I have this friend, you know, and her boyfriend keeps doing this and she's a little uncomfortable. How does she talk about that? And I wish that somebody in my world had recognized that I was that friend, right? Yeah. And so I talk a lot about that too, that if you are, you know, talking with somebody, nobody seemed to listen. And if they did, they said, oh, honey, that happens to everybody. You know, if you're uncomfortable, just tell them you're not comfortable. Like, it was sort of like, it happens to everybody. I remember thinking, this happens to everybody. This is normal. And so it normalized the abuse for me. And again, I'm sure these women didn't mean it. They probably hadn't done their own healing work. They probably hadn't dealt with it. They just shoved it under the rug, as so many of us do, regardless of the form of abuse, regardless of the gender. We do this thing, right? We've normalized these behaviors rather than someone who said, are you being abused? Are you uncomfortable? Can I help you with that? Rather than vilify the guy, but let's talk about that, right? Let's create these language. Like, what if someone had said, hey, if you're uncomfortable, tell him that. And if he's not willing to listen, then let's set up some conversations for you to talk about it. Should we talk to, you know, like there was never these positive solutions shared. And so I endured it for about 2.5 years before I finally basically cheated on to get out of it because I didn't know how to end the relationship. I would try and then he'd bring me back, right? The subtle abuse. He was getting what he needed, you know? And he was like, well, other girls do it. So why wouldn't you do it? Like this normalizing, and I'm air quoting here, this normalizing language that just came from all different angles that it was like, no, just stay. This is how relationships are. And I was like, but it feels so awful. So is it just me? And then when you begin to question that, that's of course the gaslighting, right? And I do want to define that because I think people have become become normal to gaslight and to be gaslit. Right. And that's when you question whether or not it's actually happening and you question your own self, that is the moment that you need to like wake up and go WTF, because you should never question that. Never, ever question whether or not what you feel is valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like a lot of people who I've heard their stories, they've said like similar things. Like they didn't even realize until much later. They're like, oh, that's what that was. Yeah.
Oh, there's a word for that.
Lamont, do you think we can backtrack just a tiny bit? And do you think you could Let us know a few forms of sexual assault in case, you know, someone's listening and they don't really know like what it could be, you know, because yes. I think we all know like the main ones, right?
Yes. Yes.
But are there any other ones that may not be as well known or, you know, people might not realize?
That's why I bring up, really glad you said that, because I think, like you said, I didn't know what it was, right? And mm-hmm. I sort of swept it under the rug. You know, and again, I would say, you know, in Canada, at least the sort of the definition is an assault on your person, right? Sexually. And that can be any number of things. So basically when you feel violated, and I kind of want to lean back into that for people, because it can be so broad and the definition, you know, air quotes again, the definition can be changed, but I want to lean back in for that person. If you feel uncomfortable, then it's an assault and you need to honor that, right? Whether, you know, even if that just means a conversation, right? Like, I'm uncomfortable with this. That's fine. If you are uncomfortable, then make it stop, right? And I know that for, you know, the guys out there, that's a really big deal. And so I love that we're talking about consent, because consent is basically hell yes, right? Mm-hmm. And it needs to be talked about, because I think for a lot of people, especially even for some of the men in my life, they'd be shocked. And I'd be like, yeah, but you didn't get my consent. There was no conversation. And are we teaching, you know, young people how to talk about sex? Are we teaching young men how to get consent? Are we teaching, you know, young girls how to say, I'm uncomfortable, here's my boundaries? We're not. And I mean, I certainly wasn't. It was just basically, don't do it. Well, don't do what, right? Like we need to like pull the thing off, and we have this silly idea that it should be uncomfortable. It needs to not be uncomfortable. Like, grow up. We're not teenagers. We need to talk about sex, and we need to talk about it really, really openly, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a thing. So yeah. I think that's been a really big deal for me. So, you know, for me, it felt like an assault, because before he came, I had never been kissed. I'd never held the boy's hand. I had been entirely focused on my school. That was a personal choice. I wanted to ignore boys, basically, and graduate with really great marks. That was my personal choice, okay? So here I am at 17. I've never held a boy's hand. I've never been on a date. I've never done any of these things. And so, you know, it was overwhelming for me to have my hand held, right, emotionally. It was overwhelming when he tried to kiss me. It was exciting, sure, but it was also like, am I okay with this? And mm-hmm. looking back at it now, I probably should have said, hey, this is entirely new for me. So we need to go slow, like mm-hmm. so slow, like you should check in. Can I kiss you now? Do you feel comfortable with that? And I could have, it would have been lovely if I could have said, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that yet, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about, you know, for a fun reference, right? Hitch, right? You know, you go 90, right? Like you've got to kind of give that space. And so, you know, within 8 hours of him landing, we had gone from him grabbing my hand in the back seat, which I was like, am I okay with this? I think so. But there was sort of like a lack of specialness, because it was just, you know, in the back seat, right? Like, to, you know, the first kiss, to, you know, him whipping it out of his pants. And I mean, there's lots of places in between there. But the reality was, is there were moments all the way through that where I was like, I'm uncomfortable and I want to stop. And so I really want to lean into that, because there were violations of my privacy between there and there. They may have seemed simple, right? He'd probably been to first base lots of time. That was inappropriate for me. That was an assault on my character. Yeah. Like, it was an assault on my person, rather, right? So I'm putting that out there, ladies. If he reaches out and he touches you in an area that you think, well, this is no big deal, it's a big deal. And if it's a big deal, then you need to stop, because if it, you don't want it, then technically that's an assault. And I mean, that's a really big deal, and maybe, you know, wouldn't be fined or in court. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about boundaries.
Yeah.
And so know yourself, right? Know yourself so that it doesn't get all the way to the point where it would be a full on sexual assault, however you want to define that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, it could be. Honestly, I would have been comfortable being touched between my shoulder and my elbow. Like, that was kind of it for me at that point. And so to go from zero to all the way was a significant assault, and mostly like in my mind and in who I felt like I was. And then I was like, did I want that? This was a lot. I hadn't had time to process the emotions. And again, I don't think we're setting ourselves up and certainly with our kids, like it's a big deal. And they say that, right? Well, when you have sex, it's a big deal and all this kind of it is. And I think we need to be driving home that point that it's okay to say, don't touch me there, even if
Right.
there is just, first base, right?
Right.
That's
Or even
okay.
it's just like your arm,
Yeah.
right?
I'm uncomfortable with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just to answer your question, Leah, a little bit more, some forms of sexual assault include fondling or unwanted sexual touching,
Thank you.
as Candace was telling, like what she was saying. Forcing the person into sexual acts, such as oral or penetration. So those are types of sexual assaults, attempting to have sex and not getting a complete yes. As Candace, as you were telling your story, and I was thinking, like, man, like, as a guy, I grew up, I have certain ideas, certain things, like, I don't mean anything by them, but there's definitely places where I can improve in my life. And so one of the things that came up for me while you were telling all of this was a few incidents between me and my brothers. So we call ourselves the Jewel Brothers, and we kind of live together. Some of us live here, and then like some of us come and visit or whatever. There's been times I would smack them on their butts, like, because they're being stupid or whatever. And like one of them said, "Hey, like, I don't like that. I'm not comfortable with it." And like me thinking it's no big deal, like I'm not trying to do anything like sexual or anything, but I was like, "Don't, like, what do you mean? Like, don't, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Like, chill." But then us like having that conversation, because we do feel safe with each other, and it's like, he's like, "No, I really don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I need you to honor that." I'm like, "Whoa, okay, so this is a serious thing.
A
I need
serious
to
thing.
focus in and thing." And I just stopped that behavior because why would I want any of the people that I love to feel unsafe around me? And so my next question is, why does sexual assault happen?
Well, again, I think it's like what I alluded to before. We've normalized it, right? Because it's happened so often, or it's hard. And kudos to you for acknowledging that and saying, I didn't mean it. And that's why I was saying, like, I know a lot of people don't mean it. But anytime I would say that you are justifying a reaction, that's a point for you as the person to say, wow, maybe I am being a perpetrator right now. Maybe I am continuing this cycle because it's been normalized. And so I'm saying, like, I'm thinking, for example, when, we hadn't gone all the way, he and I, for example, right, penetration, and he'd whipped it out and he said, well, just touch it. Just touch it. Anytime you hear those words, there's a justification there, right? And there's a negotiation that's going on. Anytime you hear yourself say something like, well, let's just do this. You need to look at that because that's that person attempting to renegotiate a boundary that maybe you've said, I don't really want to do that. Well, let's just do this. No. That is a boundary cross. And so I want to flag someone who's sitting there listening. If someone's saying, well, let's just do this. Let's just go out next weekend. Let's just go for dinner. Let's just, ladies, there's the justification. And you are now in a negotiation. And once you give that little bit, then he'll say, okay, well, you just did that. So, well, we just did that last night. Let's just do this tonight and see if you're still comfortable. No. There is no just, period.
Okay,
So
I
I
like
think a
that.
lot of that comes up is that we're not willing to talk about it. And then it gets sensationalized with stories like mine. And then we really don't want to talk about it. Rather than sitting down and saying, hey, when you hear words like, let's just do this. Think about what that means and where are your boundaries and what are you willing to say? Are we giving young boys and girls opportunity to say, hey, I would like to do this with you. Are you comfortable with
Right.
this?
Right.
Right? So that he can say, I want to do this. And she has an opportunity to say, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. Can we talk about that, what that would mean? Can we embrace that? Can we start? And if I'm uncomfortable, can I say at any point in this conversation, any point in this interaction, can I say, can we slow down? Can we stop? And will you honor that? I think that's a really powerful thing to do so we can allow the exploration, which is inevitably going to happen, with an opportunity to say, and let's say you do something and then you're the girl lying awake at night and thinking, I'm actually really uncomfortable. I didn't know I was going to be uncomfortable. I really thought I wanted it, but I don't think I want it anymore. Is there enough safety in that relationship to be able to say, I don't want to do that again?
Right.
Without the, well, we did it last night and I really enjoyed it. Who gives? if you'd enjoyed it. I didn't, right? And I think that's the subtle abuse, right? And that's unfortunately, you know, the onus is on us as women or as the one who's receiving it to say, I'm really not comfortable. And I know that's risking the relationship because maybe you want something I'm not willing to give, right? It's not, can't be transactional here. And for the other person to say, okay, I really care about you. So let's work that out. Let's talk it out. Let's figure that out. And I mean, I know that's a lot to ask, especially for teenagers and young adults, but I think at the end of the day, we've normalized it happening. We can also normalize it not happening by these really great conversations where there can be, you know, ebbs and flows.
I love the fact that you're talking about after the fact. So like, say like an incident does go down and say like they did everything right.
Yep.
Like, can I bring it up and it be okay for me like not to do it again and then not be upset or angry or at least be like willing to have the conversation. I think even if they are upset or angry, maybe because they don't understand, because maybe they're not angry at
You're allowed to be upset. That's the thing. You're allowed to be upset, right? You're allowed to say, I'm really disappointed about that. But there's a way to say that without, you know, inflicting guilt. And guilt language is really insidious. And so I want to call that out. So if somebody's listening to this, listen for guilt language. If you feel bad about it, that's guilt language. The other person's allowed to have their reaction. So I can say to you, I don't want to do that anymore. Let's not do it. You're allowed to be like disappointed, mad, upset. You're allowed to do that. You are not allowed to make the other person feel guilty for that.
Right.
Now, if the other person accepts the guilt, that's their call, right? That's, again, a sort of this big conversation. So we have to have that, you know, as a woman, if you say, hey, I'm not, if he feels upset, you don't get to take that on. You get to stand in it and say, I'm sorry. I don't want to make you feel bad, but I need to slow this down. I need to really think about what that means. And the other person, right? So it's a lot. And I think we're missing an opportunity if we're not talking about, you know, all of those things that come with consent. It's so much bigger than yes or no.
Right. It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this up because I know there are people who will make this argument, even though I personally don't have this argument. What about if you're under the influence?
Oh, well, here's something funny for you. So I often wondered about that, right? And I got myself into a couple situations where I was like, I wouldn't have done that if I was, you know, sober. And to the guys out there, or, you know, the person who's initiating, right? Let's take gender out of it entirely. If somebody's under the influence, just don't go there. Like, save yourself the hassle and just take them home and put them to bed. Even if they're all over you, even if they're like, well, she wanted it. Yeah, well, she's had a few beers, like, she's out. So don't, right? If he's, you know, pushing you, he may regret it in the morning. So just don't. I think that that's just a really smart, emotionally intelligent thing to do. Be sober when you do it until there's very clearly established boundaries and you're good with it. For me, because of what happened to me, I did end up being, I would use sex to continue to hurt myself. So I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, I didn't do those things, but I would have illicit, you know, relationships that were not supportive for me. And people would meet me in a bar and they would buy me a drink. And I would look at them and say, look, if you want to get me into bed later, I make all of these decisions sober. And so don't buy me a drink. If you want to buy me a drink and we're just going to hang out, that's fine. And most of the time the guys were shocked. And I said, yeah, you don't need alcohol. I will make that decision. I will make it sober because for me, it's really important to have consent. And they were just like, wow. Which, you know, would usually kill the vibe. But if they were good with it, they would say, that's awesome. Do you want some water? Should we have a conversation? And so we would have very adult decisions around this. And so I would say that, you know, like, ladies, just be smart about it, right? Otherwise, honestly, if I see a woman who's over drinking, there's usually a trauma there that she hasn't dealt with, maybe sexual, maybe not. And so I think as guys or as people initiating, let's just call it that, you need to be honest about that, right? I think you need to be looking at people and saying, oh, that's probably not somebody I want to engage with. And if not tonight, then maybe later. So don't operate from a scarcity mindset, right? You really want to sleep with her and she's had too much to drink. Take her home, be a gentleman. She'll still want you tomorrow. Like, if that's the reality. And if she doesn't, then maybe there's a bigger issue going on.
So a couple of things. I like how you started with taking gender out of it.
Thank you.
Then I also liked when we're saying, like, don't do it under the influence, make sure we have bound, like, we develop a relationship, we have boundaries in place so we know it's okay. Because that's a hard conversation, because my kids ask me about that. And I usually tell them, don't do it under the influence. But, like, I know, like, kids I work with, I know that they're going to drink and they're going to do things and experiment and stuff. It's part of their growing up.
Yep.
And so I think the conversation probably needs to switch to, like, resist. Like, if it's not something you're really interested in, do it sober. Yes. And then once you develop that relationship, talk about it. Yep. Like, if I'm drinking, what are the boundaries? If I'm high, what are the boundaries?
Yes. Yes. And again, that normalizing the conversation after. So, like, you know, having these conversations, you know, with both genders and saying, hey, if something happens, here's how you talk about it after. That happened. I was drunk. I don't want to do it again. But the reality is that some of these sexual interactions, they can have such a psychological effect that it really does need to be driven home. Like, if this happens, she might carry it or he might carry it for the rest of their lives. So know that, right? And again, allowing for that experimentation, but going that one step further and saying, what are your boundaries and what are great boundaries to have? And, you know, and I think as friends, I think about, you know, the number of times that I wish somebody would have just taken me home and said, hey, girl, you're done. Bye-bye. Right? Give him your number. He can call you tomorrow. Right? Like, go home. And so I think there's a responsibility sort of as a community to begin to, you know, talk to the friends of the friends. Hey, your buddy's sitting on this girl and you know he's drunk and she's drunk. What is your responsibility? And so I think it really layers down your responsibility where kids really don't want to have any around this. But again, I think if we're having these amazing conversations, like someone's asked me, my daughter, she's 6 and a half and she's got a mind of her own, let me tell you. And people are already asking, how are you going to have these conversations? And I said, well, you know, I have this amazing book, Med Micro, which is all about, like, you know, different diseases and things that you can get. And I read when I was in nurses training. So I intend to show her the STD chapter. Sure. And read this. So think about that, right? And so I really want to empower her because then, you know, what is not forbidden will be handled differently. Sure, you can have sex. And here is the boundaries I'd like you to consider, right? Mom, I don't really care whether you think it's gross or not. We're going to have this conversation because then at least you'll go in knowing all of the things and you'll make better decisions, right? If you come home and say, Mom, I think I need to talk about what happened last night. Great. Let's talk about that. Because then maybe that trauma won't turn into a deep, you know, put away trauma like mine was, where it takes me 20 years to start talking about it, right? Maybe we can talk about it immediately and work on the healing. And so the healing happens faster. People ask me that all the time. Like, what would you go back and say to your 17-year-old self? And I'd be like, get out sooner. I don't know if I would want to trade what I learned from the negative, but I wouldn't want to stay for 2 years, 4 years, you know, that sort of thing, and keep repeating the patterns. I wish I'd gotten the healing sooner, because then it would have been a single incident on the timeline rather than incident after incident after incident, because I kept on repeating the same habit in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. And that's trauma. And we're definitely going to talk about that in future episodes. So I am a big component of calling people out, right? But like, I don't want to like make the victim feel like they're the victim if that's not like they're not trying to be a victim. But also I want them to realize what they're doing. So it's okay to say like, hey, you're being a perpetrator right now.
Yes.
Like, to any gender.
It is. Please. 100%. Women are just as bad. Women are, you know, they will do the subtle abuse to make the guy and he'll hate it in the morning and he can't even talk about it because, of course, women were allowed and we're allowed to be the victim. And this happened to me too movement. It goes both ways. Absolutely. Yes. And so, yeah, you're allowed to say, hey, you were out of line right now.
I really wanted to get this one guy on here. He's an influencer. He's talked about this in his videos. And when I talked about him about joining us, because I would have liked a man's perspective and a female's perspective, you know, he told me, like, you know, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Like, women, they just really come after me. And they say these mean, horrible things, even though I've told my experience. And so I'm not going to give you guys his name. You can look up male influencers and like see the video for yourself. But I think I can share his story a little bit. He basically got drunk and he passed out and he woke up to a girl that he was talking to, chatting with, having a good time with on him. And like in his video, he's talking like, whoa, like what's happening? I don't understand. Like, did I agree to this? But he's like, I'm the guy. So, and it's happening and it's working. So I have to, but did I really want to? And like, and so it turned into this like big, huge thing for him. So ladies, I'm just saying like, yes, guys are desirable and we don't want them doing that stuff to us. Like us waking up and having,
it's a two-way street. Absolutely.
Make sure 100%. We're all being respectful. We're not all being perpetrators. We're not being disrespectful. And we're all in it together. Like that's something that we really want.
Oh, 100%. And I would say that. I mean, I've seen some women who are way worse and make men feel incredibly uncomfortable. So I would say absolutely, just because I would say men, because I know oftentimes that's what happened for me. But at the same time, I also had women that hit on me who were just as, you know, brutal. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that for whatever reason. Right. So I think it's a people problem at the end of the day. Consent needs to be talked about, and it needs to be talked about again, this whole guilt language. And, you know, unfortunately that woman, you know, didn't listen, right? And just went with the flow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right. Leia, go ahead.
Yeah, so forward tracking a little bit.
Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's just move on to talking about consent. So like I'm pretty sure people know what it is, but we should probably define it in case someone is like questioning what exactly it is.
I love that you guys are so willing to talk about some of these things. Like, I'm like, let's do this. Let's talk about all the things.
Yeah. So something you already said is consent is more than a yes or no. What did you say? It's like a hell yes. They think that's what you said. Yes. I liked that. Lamont, can you give us just a quick little like one or two sentence definition?
Yeah, I believe consent must be freely given and informed. And the person has the right to change their mind at any
point. Oh my gosh, repeat that part again, please.
So consent should be freely given, freely, and informed. Informed meaning we're talking about what feels good to me, what doesn't feel good to me, what I'm okay with, what I'm not okay with. And if at any point in time I'm feeling uncomfortable, I can say, hey, like, I want to stop, or I want to pause, or can we just cuddle?
Yes.
And be okay.
Oh, that's so good. This part about changing your mind, so important. I know that so many times, especially as I was learning how to say what I wanted and what I didn't want, it's okay to get partway through and go, whoa, I don't want to go any further. I don't want to do this. I just want to do that. Let's pause it here. Again, there's that just again. And the number of times that guilt language was added to that, well, now I'm going to have blue balls, or now, you know, now this will happen, or now whatever, that is not honoring consent. And you're allowed to say, oh, dude, I wanted, and go, oh, fine, right? You are allowed. Like, that's the thing. The person who says, who's putting up the boundary, has to respect that the other person's going to have an emotion about that. And that is allowed. And you don't have to change your mind just because they're upset about it. You can hold space for them. You can do the thing and say, sorry, let's come back to this another time, or I'm just not comfortable, I'd like to go home, whatever it is, whoever it is. That's really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. And in movies, of course, we see that she's like, oh no, like, let's keep going. Like, say it's the guy, right, who says, I don't want to do it anymore. That's also not okay, right, ladies? It's not okay. Once somebody puts up a boundary and says, I'm a little uncomfortable, even I would say, especially this is why we do it sober, you sense a resistance. You've touched them in a way, there's a sense that they're just holding back. Wouldn't it be great if we could begin to raise a generation of people who could say, hey, I'm sensing some resistance, where are you at? Hit the pause button. Just hit the pause button. They'll respect you all the more. And they may do a fawning thing, which is a new term I've recently learned, which is where you try to bring the person back because you're trying to, you know, so you pull back and say, hey, I'm getting some resistance here. Are you feeling okay? And they go, no, I'm okay. That is a fawning response where they don't want to lose you, where they're uncomfortable, but they're ignoring it. These are important things that we need to be talking about so that he can say, no, I'm really not sure you're comfortable. Or she can say, I'm really not sure that you're actually comfortable. And that's totally cool. Normalize, you know, taking a different pace, normalize taking it slow. We don't need to live in the scarcity mindset where I got to do it right now or I'm going to lose it. No, that's not going to happen. Real relationships, real damn good relationships take time and they respect boundaries. In fact, they honor them. They're like, are you sure you want to go here tonight? Are you sure you feel okay with that? You still feeling good? Awesome. Let's keep moving forward. And so, you know, like I was saying, you know, to your question, Layla, like it's got to be a hell yes. Like, absolute, body's into it, everybody's into it, everybody's sober. And that's just why I'm saying, you know, for your kids, right? Like you were saying, just do it sober, just make that a commitment to just do it sober until those rules are established. And yeah, I think about even to the point of, we've had this very transactional idea, right? We'll go out, we'll have dinner, then we'll Netflix and chill. What if you just want Netflix? Right? What if you just want to hold hands? I can think about my own experience recently where I finally did the healing work. And I realized that I had little things like in my relationships, I would always start with, if I can say it, a blowjob. That's how I did it. It was just, that was part of it. I give, then I receive. And one of my feminine coaches said, do you really want to? I'm like, sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes and she was like, have you ever said that? And I was like, no. Like, not even some of my really great relationships, because it had just been so, you know, that's just what happened, right? I was raised to take care of my partner. I was raised to, and I like to nurture. So why wouldn't I? But I didn't realize that that was what was consent was for me. And so then entering into my really awesome relationship I'm in now, where I was saying, can I not start with this? And he was like, sure. Like, right? So for him, that wasn't a challenge. He was like, sure. I wouldn't mind. I said, yeah, I hear you. I get it. I want to try not starting there. He's like, well, where do you want to start? And I was like, I don't know. Where could we start? And, you know, I mean, sure, it was funny. We laughed, but we have a great chemistry because we're willing to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's okay to wake up and think, oh, I've been triggered by something. This doesn't feel great. I don't know why it doesn't feel great. And so I think, again, we need to go back to the whole point about, can we talk about it? Let's normalize talking about it rather than it being this thing, you know, Twitter about and Tinder about. Talk about it, right? Mm-hmm.
I like that. Let's normalize talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to slow down and talk.
It's okay.
It's okay to communicate. It's okay to listen and be heard and validated.
Right? And I mean, what if we raised people who went into relationships like that and said, hey, you can talk about anything here. We can be in the middle of it. I won't be upset. If I am, I'll tell you that, but I'll tell you in a way that doesn't make you feel guilty. And I was on a podcast where we were talking about porn actually. And, you know, how does a guy talk about some of these things? And I said, well, you know, if you recognize that you're, so it's a guy and you're saying, hey, we can slow down and she fawns. That's a warning sign, guys. Like, that girl's got some unhealed trauma, no boundaries. That's a sign that you should probably pull the eject cord and peace out. Right? So what if we raise other people that said, you know what? I think we are going to pause today. Let's pause. And tomorrow we can talk about this and just figure this out. Because you know what? If somebody had said that to me, because I would often fawn in a relationship, so we wouldn't have found a great guy, right? So then I would use him to hurt me. What if he had said, you know what? No. This is a fawning behavior. I'm going to call it out. Sounds like maybe you got some stuff to work on. That's cool. I think you're a cool chick. I still want to hang out. But what's going on there? Right? And it's not his job to fix me. But wouldn't it have been great if he had been strong enough to say, sounds like you've been hurt. What's going on with that there? Great. Do you have a counselor you're seeing? Yeah, I still want to see you. But I kind of want to, you know, hit the pause button on this whole sexual thing until you talk to me about what that means. And that might be the end of that relationship for a season. But again, why are we functioning from scarcity? Why are we doing that? Right? Why are we not creating space? That'd have been wonderful for me. I'd have gone home and thought, wow, I met one that isn't like everybody else on the planet. I'd have felt really, really small, but he could have held space and said, look, sounds like you got some trauma there. I get it. Are you dealing with it? Do you have support systems? Go deal with it. I would have really loved him for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Actually, I wanted to share how me and my husband fell for each other. It was our first date, but it involves consent. So it was our first date. We go to Juice It Up because Starbucks was like around the corner, like Lion was around the corner. We're like, no, no, no.
Right.
And we go to a park and we sit down to talk. And the first thing he does is he reach out and grabs my hand. But then he says, is this okay?
Yes.
Never has anyone ever did that. And that was so amazing to me. So right? Incredibly sexy, so brave. Mm-hmm. So like, I was like, yeah, like this is absolutely okay. Like at first I wasn't sure if it was okay. But then when he asked, like it made me feel like really good on the inside that he was checking in with me. And I knew like this was someone I could trust. You
know? Yes, I agree. I agree. My current partner, we have a 4-month-old little boy. He's just amazing. And I had shown up after my healing and I'd said this to him, and she had my feminine balance coach had encouraged me to get back out there, right? Like go find somebody safe that you can say, I want to have sex with you, but I want to have sex entirely differently than the way I have. And this blew my mind, but she got me thinking about what I wanted, right? To push me back out there. And the person I reached out to, we'd had a physical relationship before, but I sat down and basically said, I'm healing. I'm doing some work. I'm not damaged, right? They don't get to, that's not the deal heal. The deal heal is I would like to have sex differently. I don't want to have sex today, but that's what I want in this next relationship. And can we do that from a big level? And he was like, yeah. And we spent like 6 hours talking about what we'd want in a relationship, regardless of whether we went there, because I wasn't functioning from the scarcity mindset. I'm like, either it's him or it's not. And then if we move into a relationship, at least he knows what the boundaries are. And at the end of that, he asked me, can I kiss you? I'd really like to kiss you. And I was like, am I okay with this? And I was like, actually, I am. Because intuitively, I knew it wouldn't be like one of these things that would like, because now we created this intimate relationship, that he would move to the next level. It was very nice. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you again, kiss. And I felt amazing. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if this one was different? Wouldn't it be great? Right? And then he said, thank you. Walked me to my car and I was like, oh my God, I have warm fuzzies. Like that's how it should feel. Yeah. Right. And I know if I had said, you know what, hey, I'm not cool with that, he'd have been like, no worries. Thanks so much. Like he wouldn't have taken on my stuff. And I felt so comfortable to be able to say, yes, I think I'd like that, you know? And that I think is just, you know, consent in a whole package, right? We talked about it. We knew boundaries. And then since then, I mean, people have said, well, when do you bring up, you know, these things? And I'm like, right away. Like if the dude runs or she runs, that's a sign. Don't you want to be in a relationship with an emotionally intelligent individual who can talk to you about these things? Yeah. I do. So bring it up. And if they go, wow, this is not the conversation I wanted. He probably just wanted one thing or she just wanted one thing.
Yeah.
If you just want the one thing, cool. Yeah. But if you're looking for something different, then, you know, just be you.
Yeah. So yeah, don't compromise. Like if you're looking for someone who's wanting to invest in you and they're not willing and like, well, at least I just get this. I'm going to encourage you not to do that. Like if you both are on the same, or like wanting the same thing, like not really wanting to invest, just want a quickie. Want
peace in, peace out. Here are my rules. Yeah. But wouldn't that be more fun too? Like those were fun too. Hey, look, I'm looking just to get under somebody tonight. I'd like it to be somebody that's going to respect my boundaries. Here's the deal. I want to do this and I want to leave right after I'm done. You'll run into people who are like, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's cool. Again, why wouldn't you want to be, you know, intimate with someone who has that emotional intelligence? Like
it's definitely a different way of going about things. Yeah.
There is something really nice about being asked, though.
Isn't it?
I don't know if it's just because it's not, like, common, because people are just starting to kind of learn about it, I guess. But I don't know. It is. I mean, I've been asked, too, and I was like, oh, that's better. Okay. I like that. Yes.
I've also been asked by people where we were having a conversation. I'm like, I really want to kiss you right now. And I was like, I don't actually know if I'm comfortable with that, you know? And it's hard to say because, you know, you're putting yourself out there, right? Or, you know, as a girl, you can kiss me if you want to. And they say, I don't know if I want to. That's okay too, right? Mm-hmm. Like be willing to be in the uncomfortable and awkward. Like it doesn't have to be awkward, but if it is awkward, let it be awkward. Like who cares? So it's what is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I remember having a conversation with Leia and I was like, honestly, like if a person wants to kiss me, I kind of want them to do it. But I say that only with the experience of I've never been kissed by a person I have never wanted to be kissed by.
That's
so
true.
What if someone did not, like someone kissed me and I didn't want them to kiss me? Like, what would happen?
You well, know? I can tell you.
So it's like, I want that consent, but I don't want that consent. So I was like, no, let's just make up my mind.
I think there's a way, you know, like you want the intent, and I understand that, right? Because I love being pursued, and I think we all love being pursued. There's a way to do it without, you know, sort of like hanging by, like, can I kiss you? Like, no. Like, it's okay to be like, can I kiss you? Like, be there so that you're like, yeah. You know, like, you don't necessarily have to say yes physically. There's a lot of different ways to say hell yes consent, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I mean, I'm thinking about my husband and I, so my first husband and I used to do a lot of, you know, we would love the festivals and we'd love that. And one of the things we would do, we'd do harm reduction. I think a lot of it because of where I came from with my story, right? So we'd pass out water and condoms and all this kind of stuff. And I would go up to women and I'm like, you are not here right now, right? And saying, here's a condom. And remember, consent is sexy. And it I is. Would, you know, I'd say that all the time, right? Because I'm thinking this is important and you're probably going to do this anyway. And you may regret it in the morning, but it's my job to show up and say, you're doing this thing, sister. Here's your condom. Here's some water. And remember, consent is sexy. You can still go home to your own tent tonight. And I think that's important because, you know, I mean, they call it harm reduction, right? So let's get out there. I'm all about, you know, doing you and doing other people. That's what you want to do. But again, I think we need to make consent sexy. Mm-hmm. I think we need to just change the mindset around, you know, are you cool with this? Can we go all the way? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a perfect natural like break in our conversation. So let's actually take a break. And then we'll come back. We'll wrap up. And we're also going to be sharing some resources if people need to reach out or feel like they need help or something. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
And we're back. So we have been talking a lot. And I think I just kind of wanted to wrap up everything that we said about consent and then give you guys some resources. So I have this video that I found last night and I would love to share it with you guys. So here we go.
How do you know for sure if someone wants to have sex with you? Well, actually, there's only one way. They need to tell you. You need to have consent. But what does consent really mean? Consent means both parties are really truly into what's going on. This means that nobody is being guilted or pressured into doing anything. Silence does not equal consent. Some people think it's not rape unless there's fighting, screaming, or someone yelling no, but that's not true. Communication doesn't always happen with words. Body language can say a lot if you pay attention. Are they leaning in or are they pulling away? Do they look happy or do they look uncomfortable? Are they kissing you back or are they just staying kind of still? You have to pay attention to all the signals. This includes body language and words. No one can read minds, so it's always good to talk about it. Asking for consent doesn't have to be awkward. Asking for consent can actually be kind of sexy.
Want to show me your bedroom?
Show me where you want me to touch you.
Do you want to help me take these clothes off?
So, let's break this consent thing way down. One, everyone's clear about what's about to happen next. And they're happy about it. If you're making out with someone for the first time and you want to go further, check in first.
Can I take your shirt off?
Want to try something different?
Two, everyone in the situation has to feel free to be able to say no without being pressured or hassled. It's not cool to pressure people into doing stuff they're obviously uncomfortable with or make them feel bad for saying no or wanting to stop things. Being pushy or manipulative makes for some pretty bad sex. And obviously, if a person is drunk, high, passed out, or asleep, it's not okay to do sexual stuff with them. They can't consent when wasted or unconscious. So doing this is actually rape. Three, be honest about whether or not you're on birth control, have an STD, or having sex with other people. Wouldn't you want to know that? If you're going to get naked with someone, you have to have trust and honesty. Four, saying yes to sex once doesn't mean you're saying yes to it forever. It may be tough to pause in the middle of some super sweet action, but your partner has the right to stop at any time. And five, sex is all about connections and pleasure, right? If everyone feels respected, sex will be much better for both of you. We all deserve a safe, pleasurable, and awesome sex life. The more respect you show to the other person, the more they'll trust you enough to relax and enjoy. And the more honest you are about what you want and don't want, the better things will go.
Yeah, so you can check them out, Planned Parenthood out, for other helpful tips. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was a really cool video. And I was like, you know what? That's a really nice way just to like wrap like everything.
Like he totally nailed it. I was like, yeah, dude, that's about it right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not sure if Leia's happy with
me. I have thoughts.
Ooh. Oh, what are your thoughts?
Okay, the first thought is I'm glad they used someone very attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very attractive. That was very easy to watch.
That's important.
It was easy to watch. Yep. The second one, unrelated to it. What do you think the casting call was for that? Like, for like the little scenes where they're just like, okay, so what you're gonna have to do is you're gonna have to like make out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, okay.
There's some consent there too, I'm sure. Yeah. Some consent to making out with a stranger, or you know. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the diversity. I love the girls, the guys, the heteros, the different diversities in their nationalities. It was very nice, actually. Very Planned Parenthood did a really good job, actually.
And then my third comment is that I just thought it was well informative.
For sure. So, I used to volunteer at Riverside Area Rape Crisis Center. So we live in California. Well, Leia's currently back in California. And we live Reno Valley. That's where we grew up, Riverside County. And so I volunteer at the Riverside Area Rape Crisis Center. If you need someone to talk to, they're a great center. Their phone number is 951-866-7273. And say you're not in California and you're not in Riverside. And you need someone to talk to or connect with. There's a national hotline. And you can call 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-4673. To be connected to a trained staff member for sexual assault services provided in your area. When you call these people, they will locate you to a local base, and it's totally confidential. So whatever you provide, whatever you say, whatever you need to talk about, they're there to listen to you, not judge you, give you the help that you need, and other resources for long-term and short-term support.
I've called a number like that.
So. I do want to point out that number also works in Canada. So,
nice.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
The same number.
That's important.
So for our, what is it?
International.
our North brothers and sisters. Yeah. That number will also work for you guys.
Yeah, and there's no shame in calling it. I've called and I said I need to talk. You know, because there were certainly points in my life when I wanted help. Did I get the help I needed? Yes, in stages. And I think that's important that people need to know that it takes time to heal, and that's okay. And I was always connected to amazing people that helped me, you know, through one step. And I mean, you got to be honest with your counselor. And I wasn't always honest about the fullness mm-hmm. of what had happened or what was happening and that sort of thing. But there is no shame in making that phone call. Mm-hmm. And there are really awesome people on the other end who will, you hopefully just feel a feeling of relief. At least I always did.
I just want to say, like, the more honest you can be with yourself in the situation, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say the faster you heal, but healing will take greater amounts of happening when we're able to be honest with ourselves.
100%.
Awesome. I think that those are the ones that we have. If anyone has any other ones that you'd like to share, we can add into like our description. So these ones will be in our description. You guys can check those out. If you have any other ones that you'd like us to add or any other resources that you guys would like to share with us, leave them in the comments or send us a message, and we'll be more than happy to update our description as well. I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else that you wanted to add? I think we covered a lot of really good information today.
That was fun. I think, you know, we talked about some of these, you know, interesting conversations, but I think this is like these kinds of podcasts are normalizing the mm-hmm. talking of the consent, right? They're making fun and informative. And I think that's really, really, really important. And, you know, for whoever's listening, regardless of gender or where you're at, you know, just because you said yes to something you didn't want yesterday, just because you have a history of saying yes, doesn't mean you can't change it now, right? Mm-hmm. I was in a relationship for 2.5 years and other relationships where things happened I wasn't cool with. And yes, it meant the end of those relationships because I changed the boundaries. That's okay, right? Fast forward, you know, 21 years later, and I'm in a phenomenal relationship where consent is a thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. It's not something that stops just because you're in a relationship. It can be, hey, I'm too tired tonight. Right. Hey, yeah. I know you really wanted to do this tonight. I just want to cuddle. Can we just cuddle? That's cool too. Consent, I think, mm-hmm. is an ongoing thing. And I think, you know, again, normalizing that conversation is a really great place to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So Candace, thank you so much for talking with Leah and I today. If people wanted to get a hold of you and wanted to talk about the subject, this subject mm-hmm. or any other subject, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
Well, I think my website, which is just CandaceSmiley.com, let's keep it simple. All of my other socials kind of go out from there. I talk a lot, honestly, on my blog, so people can leave comments. They can, of course, reach out and connect with me one-on-one. I'm not a coach. I don't pretend to be, but I do share my story very, very honestly on my podcast, which is the Create the Ripple podcast, which you can find on any of the major platforms. And I interview other people, and it's all about trusting the niggle and telling the truth. And that's me acknowledging after 20 years that I knew that I wasn't going to be protected in that first relationship. And I ignored the niggle because I didn't have any logical reason why I should feel unsafe with this person. And so I've been calling that out and then telling myself the truth that I knew that it was going to be a bad idea. I knew, and I didn't know what to do with it, or maybe I ignored it on purpose because it felt too good. It doesn't really matter. So I take a lot of responsibility for that, which I think is really important. Regardless of who you are, you know, in that relationship, because you're, you know, what happened to you may not have been in your control for whatever reason, but your healing definitely is, right? It's not my job to make anybody feel bad for what happened. It's my job to take responsibility and really own that. And so I talk a lot about that, but people can find me there, or they can find me on my website, and then all my socials are listed there and you can follow along.
Awesome. Thank you. And of course, as always, all those links will be in our show description. So make sure you go check those out, get in contact. Candace, is there anything that you're working on that you kind of want to share, or like something you want to brag about? Can be about anything.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually finally writing my book about my story. Awesome. So, you know, I used to tease the people I was with, men and women, that they should be nice to me because I was going to write a book about my experiences at some point. And I'm finally doing that.
There you go.
And of course, names and stuff will be removed to protect people. But I really want to talk about it because I think we connect through our stories. And again, I really want to normalize some of these conversations, good, bad, or otherwise. And we don't talk about them because we feel guilty, or we feel shame, or we feel any of those things, which certainly kept me silent for a very, very long time. And people say, you know, they read my bio and they're like, how do you feel when people read that? I'm like, the first thing I think about is, what are people going to think about me? And the reality was, as my healing, as most healing journeys, it's never straightforward. It's pretty messy, and that's okay. And I've learned to embrace that, because what I'm discovering is, as I talk about my story, people are going like, oh, me too. And I think that's really important. And I do want to change the narrative. I want to change the way we're raising the next generation. I want to create safe spaces for people to talk about it, regardless of where you are in the consent, whether you were the one asking or whether you were the one giving. It doesn't really matter. I think, you know, maybe someone hears this and they wake up and go, wow, I am a perpetrator. I didn't realize it. I didn't mean to be. I use guilt language. I've used the word just to get what I need. And I would just say, you know what, that's cool. Don't feel bad about what happened, but really begin to work on you so that mm-hmm. you're not using. If you say, well, let's just do this, check in with yourself and make sure that, you know, you don't swing the other way. Because I think we can be both victim and perpetrator, mm-hmm. you know, without meaning to and without ill intent. Right. So again, I just want to normalize this, you know, emotional, intelligent conversation that we're having here today to say, let's just be better people, period.
Yes, agree. That's what Leia and My Podcast is all about. And just in case you do reflect and you find yourself doing that or saying it in the moment, it's okay to pause and reword. You're like, you know what?
Yes.
I didn't mean it that way. Let me rephrase what I really want.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Honestly, when I recognized that I was guilty of guilting people, guilting men into being with me, that was a really big moment. I was like, wow, I'm both a victim and a perpetrator all at the same time. And that's okay. That's, I think, the human experience. And what an amazing opportunity, because it just showed me how unhealthy I was, that I was just so, you know, willing to push for love. I was so needing, and, you know, we shouldn't do that, right? Like, there's a, I don't want to shit on people, but there's so much more in terms of creating a healthy relationship. And does it work? Hell yeah. That's okay. You know, are you going to have what you need tomorrow? No. Yeah. But here's the deal. When you feel good about you, when you've dealt with your traumas and you're moving forward, you attract other people who are mm-hmm. also healed. And then you get into really great yeah. relationships. And I mean, well, what I've told my 17-year-old self, just chill out and focus on you. Find some great girlfriends, travel the world, do some things, make some mistakes, but honor yourself all the way through, because you'll meet great men. I did, mm-hmm. and I have. And it may last, it may not last. That's okay. But you got to make sure you're okay with you first.
Yeah.
So if there's anything else that people should pick up from this, is take care of you first.
Yes.
And then the rest will take care of itself.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you once again for coming on today. We really appreciate you and this conversation, and we really do hope it's gonna help people and change their lives.
So as always, thank you guys for watching, for listening. If you feel like supporting the podcast, there's a link in our show description that you can help Lamont and I make more content where we talk about these types of conversations and hopefully help change the world. So, thank you again.
Today's life lesson is, don't hesitate when you should act. There's an old Roman proverb that people often quote, carpe diem, meaning seize the day. More often than not, we fail to act due to the lack of confidence or courage. This hesitation keeps us from moving forward and puts us in a cage of wondering what might have been. Whenever you feel it's time to act, take action. No matter the outcome, you'll end up smarter than before. And remember, do it with consent. And that is today's life lesson. This has been the Lamont and Leia podcast.
Created by Lamont Damon and Leia Nakahiki.
A special thanks to Candace Smiley for coming on to today's episode.
And this episode was edited by Leia Nakahiki.
Let us know what you thought of our show, or give us some topic suggestions by messaging us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube.
You can also watch our show. We post every episode to both Facebook and YouTube. A link can be found in the show description.
Please consider supporting our podcast. Check out our Anchor page for more information.
Thank you for listening.
See you guys later.